going to pray. We're going to jump into it. Father God, I thank you how you change lives. Lord, you're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the great I Am. You're the Holy One of Heaven. Lord, you are a life changer. You are good all the time. The circumstances might not be good. This cursed, fallen world might not be good, but you are good. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us for our sins. I pray your protection, your hand upon us. I pray you would open your word. I pray that we would rightly divide it and keep it in context. And I pray you would open it through the power of your Holy Spirit and pray you be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have goals? Anybody in here have goals? No, you don't have to raise your hand. You have goals? My next question is, how many of those goals have eternal value to them? How many of those goals are going to last longer than the next year or two? What direction are you heading in your life? And is it for His glory or for our comfort? We're going to cover, we're starting in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. We're only going through verse 56. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. When the time had come for him, you know what? It caught my attention that, you know, Jesus, he's God. He is bigger than all things. He's bigger than time. But when he put on flesh, we know that he is fully God, fully man. And when he put on flesh for a period, he was within time because he had a certain amount of time that he wanted to do what he wanted to do to get things done. Does that make sense? And he had a purpose to fulfill. So the one who was eternal, bigger than time, put on flesh so that there was a small amount that he had. He was within time to do his work. It just caught my mind. It just makes me think. And it was time for him to head that way. And he was steadfastly, resolutely heading to Jerusalem. Listen, in the Gospel of Luke, the ministry changes here. He's heading now to Jerusalem. Right, he's been ministering around Galilee and Capernaum and all over. And now you're seeing Luke that he turns and he's headed to Jerusalem. And he's steadfastly going that way. He's resolutely headed to Jerusalem. You know what that means, right? That's to his death. He's going to his death. He knows this. This isn't hidden from him. He knows this. And when it talks about him being received up, it's talking about his ascension, right? So it's talking about he's going to die, and then he's going to be raised again, and then it's talking about his ascension. And when he ascends into heaven, that means he's at the right hand of the Father. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. He's our intercessor. He's exalted. So he's heading to Jerusalem. He's not behind the pack, kicking stones, pouting. He's leading the way, right? He's headed to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. So he sent people on ahead of him. And as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. When they would travel from Galilee to Jerusalem, they would travel through Samaria. Right? And it was a long haul down through there. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. You know this. Right? In fact, it was so bad that some people would travel and they would go across the Jordan River and down the other side and back across so they could miss Samaria completely. They didn't want to mess with them. They did not get along. This is my understanding of the background of what happened is this. What happened is, you know, the Old Testament, Judah, the southern kingdom, then you had Israel, the northern kingdom. They split. You with me? And then the northern kingdom was taken off to Assyria, and there were some captives left behind, or some people left behind, right? They started to intermarry with some of the Assyrians and some of the other pagan cultures around, and so they brought some paganism in with their Judaism, and that's Samaria. It was a mixed culture. So that's when the Jews came back. They looked at them as a mixed culture. They looked down upon them. They had some paganism brought in with their Judaism. So if you remember, I believe it's Ezra 4, they wanted to help rebuild the temple. And the Jews said, what? No. We'll do it ourselves. And there became this huge rift between these two people. It was their neighbors. And they did not get along. So the story about the Good Samaritan is huge if you understand the concept behind it. The story when Jesus is talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman, it's huge. Because these are people that should hate each other. They hated each other. They did not hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But so he was going to prepare a place for him there, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey in Jerusalem. They had set up their own temple and their own place, their own holy place. If you were a Jew and you were heading to Jerusalem, they were not helping. They weren't going to help. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did?" Right? Elijah did. He brought some fire down. I mean, God, it was God's power. It wasn't his, but he brought down fire, right? They came to get him a couple times. He brought down fire. Look at the Old Testament. Read it. He lit them up. Finally, the last guy came up and said, "Please don't kill us. Please don't light us up. Let's just talk." Right? And so these two guys are like, "Hey, you want us to bring down fire?" They didn't have power, by the way, to do that. The only one that had power to do that's God. That's all God. God parted the Red Sea, not Moses, right? We all know it's God. Do you know what Jesus nicknamed James and John, by the way? Sons of thunder. You see why? And if this preaches, by the way, because you can see it. Do you see their flesh here and their hatred? They're like, "Hey, they're not going to help us. Let's light them." That's what they're thinking. "I don't want to mess with them. We'll just burn them up." And they're still thinking in the physical realm, right? They think Jesus is coming in, going to kick out the Romans, beat up the Romans. He's going to rule physically. That's how they're picturing it. So they think that him just burning them up, hey, we don't have to deal with them later. Watch Jesus' response, because you can see a glimpse of that hatred. And it's still in our world today, isn't it? Amongst people. Look at Jesus' response. "But he turned and rebuked them," and said, he rebuked them. He rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of." Did you catch that? You don't know what spirit you're of. I believe what he's saying, my understanding of that sentence is he's saying, do you know who's influencing you? Who's influencing them? He's like, do you know what spirit's influencing you here? "For the Son of Man," again, just so everybody's clear, the Son of Man is Jesus, who is God. "For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He didn't come to destroy. Listen, when he comes back the second time, Armageddon, he lights things up. All right? He does. First time down, he came to save. Listen. If he wanted to, he could have destroyed Samaria. Yeah, he could have destroyed it all. If he wanted to, when he was hanging on a cross, he could have came down off the cross and wiped Rome out and the rest of the world and restarted. If he wanted to, because he's God. But he didn't come to destroy. He came to save. John 3:16, you know, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But John 17 goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He didn't come to destroy, he came to save. That's who we serve. And they went on to another village. Told you to keep it short, I will. Three quick questions. How are you using the time you've been blessed with? Jesus used his time. He had time and he used it. I believe every day we are blessed with the time we have. Whatever time we have, we are blessed with. It's a gift. The question is what are you doing with it? What are you doing with the time that you have been given? Are we coasting? Are we wasting? What are you doing with the time you've been given? Question one. Question two is, what direction are you heading with your life? I mean, what influences the direction that you head in your life? Is it the enemy? Is it your comfort? Is it pleasure? Is it our culture? Is it social media? I sure hope not. What influence? Is it selfishness? Or is it seeking Him and His Word and His Holy Spirit? Listen, and this preaches, and you can hammer on this, but you can go home and flesh this out. You know what? Living as a Christian might not be always the easiest life, but I guarantee it's the best. What's right is always right. Not always easy, but it's always right. What direction are you going with your life? I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm telling you, living for Him, that's when you start to live. When you choose to live for Him, that's when you start to live. Are you willing to use your time for Him? To live for Him, even if it's hard? Jesus did for us, did He not? Father God, Lord, I thank You for the love that You pour upon us. I thank You that You are good all the time. I thank You that You're faithful. I thank You, Lord, that You chose to save us even when we were enemies, even when we were sinners, we were running from You. And You demonstrated Your love for us so much that Your Son died for us. You loved us that much. I pray we grasp the magnitude of Your love for us, who You are and what You've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that You would put a fire in our heart to love You and to live for You, to be bold for You, courageous for You in love, to walk through the doors that You open for us, and to not try to beat down the doors You shut before us. And I pray You give us wisdom to see the difference. Pray, Lord, that You would move, and I pray it would be for Your glory, not for us, not for the empty praise of men, not for attaboys. That stuff's nothing. I pray that we live for You. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. If you will, please stand. We're going to sing page 616.